Hey, this is Matt with Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio. I am on the phone right now with a band. And could you introduce yourselves?
Well, we're Street Eaters from the Bay Area in California.
I'm John.
And I'm Megan.
And you guys are playing on Friday with Pie Face Girls and a brand new band called Crete. That's C-R-E-T-E.
Yeah.
That's a brand new goth band featuring members of No Love. And you're playing at Prisma Video on Friday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it should be an exciting show.
It should be awesome.
Sounds like you know all the details.
A little bit, yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, how did the band first form, for those that don't know?
We decided that we wanted to start making noise together, and we talked about it for a while, and I've been playing drums for a while, and John kind of played bass, right?
Yeah, I played bass in a band called Harbinger a while back. I haven't played bass in a long time, and we've, you know, fooled around on bass and drums and realized after cranking up the gain knob that you can make a bass sound like both a bass and a guitar. And that was kind of a revelation. And so we started really enjoying just starting to write with that configuration, just the two of us.
The whole idea initially, too, was to be a two-piece band so that we could tour in John's Toyota Corolla, which wasn't a very reliable vehicle.
No.
I might add, it was kind of a bucket. But we were trying to fit all of our equipment and ourselves into it, and so we did the first couple short tours like that, and it was really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about being a duo. Does that surprise people when they see that it's a duo? Because you guys do make a lot of noise.
It's kind of gotten like that, especially these days. I think, you know, I use three amps, and Megan uses a standard drum kit that plays a lot of it. It isn't like the thing where, you know, you have, like, a full standard drum kit and somebody just plays, like, the hi-hat, the snare, and the kick, which often happens, and maybe, like, thumps a tom every once in a while. She's, like, playing all of it. There's a lot of full, crazy, you know, rock action going on, and I'm playing through three amps, and it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, people kind of get fooled. I've noticed that, like, people will hear the record and be like, wait, you're playing a bass, not a guitar? Wow, it's crazy, you know?
It's actually happened while we've been sound checking on stage.
Yeah.
Some person will be like, okay, can I touch the guitar again? And we're like, it's a bass. As the guitar level, it's a bass, but it sounds great. Yeah, I think that also a lot of it has to do with songwriting, because when you write with a lot of dynamics, I think it makes you feel when things aren't there, and then when things are there, and it feels more full, you know. So I think that can make it trick people into thinking that there's more instruments happening when there aren't, which is kind of cool too.
Yep,
well, that's great. And so I wanted to ask you also, where does the name come from? The name Street Eaters.
It was kind of like a sci-fi cosmic idea of like this like weird monster coming from outer space and just destroying all of society and like eating all the streets. And it was like kind of a weird conversation that we had. And so the name came up and we're like, that sounds really cool. But it's mainly sort of like a post-apocalyptic theme of society just being crumbled by itself. I mean, you know, the monster could also be ourselves eating society. So
we're pretty stoked on ecological terrorism in general.
What does that mean? There's going to be a Street Eaters movie one day?
Yeah, except that we'll be destroying all filmmaking technology.
Directed by Matt Dunn, of course.
I'll sign up for that. Do you guys put out a new compilation, is that correct?
We did. It's called Frequency of the True Wave, and it came out on Nervous Intent Records, which is our label. And it has 19 bands from all over the U.S. and Europe, all kinds of really, really awesome stuff, powerful, often melodic, but really just a lot of powerful music.
Fierce
stuff. Mostly women-fronted bands.
Well, that's great, and you've got a couple of local North Carolina bands on.
Absolutely. Silent Legend, No Love.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what exactly does True Rave mean?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
It's a complicated question. Well, there's many answers.
What do you think it means?
Seems like True Wave is, you know, some kind of a post-punk influence bands who are a little bit, maybe a little bit heavy, but like you were saying, still melodic.
Yeah, that's an element.
That's great.
That's
yeah.
a good element. There's oftentimes, I think there's some common threads with a lot of bands in that particular comp where a lot of the bands have pretty meaningful lyrics and some really important stuff to say. And there's a lot of, as Megan mentioned earlier, a lot of fierceness and drive, I guess, with regard to, like, how the music's expressed and how they express themselves. And it's kind of, you know, pretty true, right?
Is there any countries left that you haven't played?
Oh, plenty.
Yeah, we would really like to go to Australia at some point. But
yeah.
It's so far away, and it's difficult to book. But in the meantime, we've been keeping ourselves busy with a lot of Europe.
Yep.
And we've made it as far east this time to Serbia last fall when we were on tour for 2 months.
Plus U.S. and Canada, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you about touring because it seems like you guys are always on tour constantly.
Well, we tour a lot. When we have the chance to do it. When we have, like, time in our lives between our jobs and our other activities going on, we really try to, like, tour like crazy. It's pretty much what we use our vacation time for, you know, for whatever that's worth. You know, like, when people have time, they do it. But then again, last year we took 4 months. So I guess
it was longer than that.
Yeah, actually, 4.5. So I guess we tour a lot. It means, especially when we have a new thing out, we'll tend to go and tour a lot. We go out for a long time, and we play, like, every day. We don't go places and just take days off and hang out.
Yeah, it's not a vacation at all. When
yeah.
we go on tour,
uh-huh.
we're out playing music every day.
Yeah.
And we drive ourselves. You know, we try and do as much as we can to make the ends meet,
yeah.
Which you really have to be conscious of because it's easy to lose track of things and not be able to cover all your expenses. You know, so that's why I think, too, like, we're also pretty conscious about, you know, making our own merch a lot of the times,
mm-hmm.
and we also have records and tapes and stuff that we sell, too. And, you know, like, it's about getting the music out there and also, like, building community, playing with other bands that we really want to see and have heard about and feel affiliation with. And also just seeing what other, you know, art communities are doing around the world. It's really important to us.
Yeah. The truth is I think we structure our lives around it to a certain extent. We're pretty built for it. Both of us are pretty, like, road wiry, we're just built for it. We have the right kind of, we have that kind of attitude. And it makes sense. We know how to do it econo, and we know how to really get out there and, play as much as possible and get stimulated by really just, like, focusing on it like crazy and getting out there and doing it.
Also, like, to be fair, we wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for people looking out for us and helping us book the shows,
mm-hmm.
taking care of us, you know, feeding us, giving us a place to stay, and, you know, just promoting the shows and the other bands that we play with. I mean, it's like a huge web network of things that have to happen so that we can tour. And we're really grateful that we are able to do that.
Yep.
Well, that's great. And I also wanted to ask you, how were you received when you played places like Serbia?
It was awesome.
It was a great show.
I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, we're playing places that don't have a lot of touring bands coming through. Or, like, a wide variety. And so I would say, like, the most, you know, different thing that might happen is, you know, someone really excited coming up to me and being like, wow, I've never seen a woman play drums like that before. You know, and, like, that means a lot to me. I think that that's really cool. And, you know, hopefully that will raise their, you know, awareness and also maybe open their mind up to hearing different types of music and also, you know, realizing that women do play music and we can be good at it. And, you know, it's not supposed to be taken as a token, you know. And so maybe it's like the beginning of people not thinking like, wow, you're really great for a woman playing music, but rather, wow, that's a really great musician, you know. Or maybe they don't like our music. I don't know.
I think there's usually pretty good responses in a lot of different spots. And I feel like we, there's the thunder. Sorry.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a thunder and lightning storm in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Is this your first interview you've done in a thunderstorm?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. It might be the case. I kind of also feel like when we do a lot of touring, like we were mentioning, we do a lot of shows. We play a lot of places that are like the big capitals and bigger cities, you know, Berlin and Paris and London and New York and, you know, like all of the giant cities
Serbia.
In the world. Yeah, Belgrade is a big capital,
yeah.
You know, Budapest and Hungary and like all these different places. But like, you know, we also will play in between like a lot of other smaller towns too, where like people might not be as clued into underground music or, you know, bands that are like doing DIY stuff like we do. And it really, like Megan was talking about, that concern has really opened people's eyes for stuff they might not, you know, have heard otherwise. And it's a really cool experience.
Well, that brings me to my next question. I was going to ask if, do people ever, like when you go to a city in a place like Serbia, does anyone ever say, oh, we've never heard music that sounds like this before, or like we've never heard punk music?
Well, Serbia's got a long history of its own stuff. I mean, the Serbian and Yugoslav punk scene has like a really, really rich tradition that's super deep and awesome. There's actually a Croatian band on the Kof called Vlasta Popic who are really great and have a really distinct sound. There's like a really long list of bands. There's a band called Repetitor from Belgrade who are super, super good, heavy and strange and interesting. We've got a band called Drugolice who are really, really fun and interesting. Like, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these places, especially in Europe and Eastern Europe, there's like these really cool indigenous traditions of punk that grew up out of their own social context and their own socio-political conditions in like countries that were ex-communist countries and stuff. So a lot of the Yugoslav stuff is really incredible and really distinct. It's informed by international punk. Obviously, people pay attention to each other. Everybody reads Maxim Rock and Roll and shares stuff around, shares tapes, shared like listens to the internet. But there's all kinds of cool stuff all over the world, and that's one of the reasons why we like touring so much.
Yeah, like what the only thing I wanted to add to that was when we were in Belgrade, we were hanging out with Repetitor, who are really awesome people. But you know, we were hanging out in their art studio, and they were really into the Gossip, like older Gossip records
mm-hmm.
from Killer Cross.
Uh-huh.
And you know, which is like stuff that I have listened to for years, and they also like White Stripes, and I forget what else we're listening to, but it's like there's a lot of commonality too. But I just think it's really neat to see different places around the world that have their own take on what punk means, musically, community-wise, and it's all kind of a beautiful thing, you know.
Well, so I know you guys have made a couple of music videos. What's that experience like?
It's another form of art. You know, I mean, it's another medium to be able to express ideas in. We're really, we do all of our own visual art, too. Megan does almost all the artwork. And, like, you know, I help with layout and collaborate with regard to the way things are. You know, we both work on presenting it. And Megan has a lot of the vision, and it's kind of a whole package to us. It's all, you know, part of like a audiovisual expression.
I don't know. It's what makes being in a band really fun. You know, I mean, it's about making music, but the aesthetics of it, I think, can be really fun too. You know, I mean, you don't have to like get wrapped up in it, but it can be a really cool form of expression. And also, like sometimes, you know, like when you're making music, you sort of have visualizations of what would go with it, you know, and so it's I think it's another really cool form of expression and being in a band, and also being a DIY band, we can make our own art and present it the way that we want it to be presented, you know, and it's pretty empowering.
Yep.
Well, it's fun.
Well, I think the visual is sometimes lost on people, because I know I grew up with the MTV generation. That was some of my first exposure to music. And did you guys have a similar experience growing up? Like,
Sure. But I mean, MTV doesn't even show videos anymore.
That's right. Exactly.
It's all just trashy reality shows. So I feel like there's, to a certain extent, like the format of like doing a music video is almost like, it's almost like went back into like the art realm, like maybe it was in the 70s or something.
Yeah, it's like
right.
Yeah, like old Devo stuff or like crazy Eno things where you see all these wild videos that these like crazy artists, musicians made in the 70s, and you realize it's all this integrated format where there's art, music, and like all these crazy visuals and different, it just kind of weaves in and out of each other, you know, pulsates together, makes something.
You can do what you want.
You do what you want, you know what I mean? Like, and with the technology makes it accessible. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, it's really easy to make a video now if you have a vision and you know what you're doing. And knowing what you're doing is just a matter of, like, putting the time in to figure out how to use a few basic programs and ideas and, like, pieces of equipment.
Even, like, the cheap cameras look really cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You could even make a video on your phone. You know, it's really accessible if you have the time and the will, you know, to try and do something with it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think there's so many, like, you know, bands coming out with cool videos. Like, all you have to do is just want to do it, you know?
Totally.
Well, and do you think that the internet has made exposure to DIY bands a lot easier now, especially since everything's so connected these days?
Well, if you're looking for it, you can find it, but there's so much of it that it's overwhelming, and so it's harder to stumble onto things, I think.
Yeah, it's getting harder because, like, the main platforms have been, like, obviously weighted towards sponsorship and, like, promotion of material that is... they're being paid to promote, which tends to be more like large independent labels and major labels, you know? So, I mean, you're not going to get much independent music on Pandora anymore. So you go on Pandora and what, like, eventually everything becomes the Smiths radio. Yeah. But if you know where to look, you know, and you want to put a little bit of effort into it, it can really, I think that there's more better accessibility now than there ever has been. I think that's rad. It's really good for independent music. It's, you know, easier than going in the back of, like, Maximum Rock and Roll and, like, tape trading, which is also still really fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's
also a lot of music blogs, too, that I think help to, like, curate videos and stuff, and that helps give bands a platform, too, you know, as far as exposing the videos to a different audience.
Totally. That True Wave Cop we were talking about earlier, for instance, was like actually originally an online mixtape on Collapseboard, that blog Collapseboard from Australia. That's really great. So we did that there, and then we decided, like, people liked it so much, we decided, like, hey, let's do a tape press of it of a couple hundred in here and a couple hundred in Europe. And they're almost
people
gone.
Loved it.
Yeah,
they're
almost
gone.
They're almost gone. They're going to be gone probably by the end of this week. So if you're in Raleigh-Durham and there's a couple of them around, you might be getting one of the last ones.
Well, so if you guys ever made a video mixtape, what would be some of your favorite music videos you'd put on there?
Oh, that's a really good question. Like we were mentioning before, like the Devo music videos, I think have been like huge inspiration. I would definitely put a Devo music video. Probably Dave My Baby Gave Me a Big Surprise.
Yeah.
I love that part when, okay, this is only if you've seen the video, you'd know what I'm talking about. But they, like, throw a baby, and then it, like, flies through the air, and then these hunchbacks standing by a baby pool, like, try and catch it, but they drop it. It's not a real baby, of course. But it's just pure genius.
Totally.
So that would be my choice.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's also, like, some really cool old Sonic Youth videos. There's really cool, like, it's a bunch of weird 90s art video stuff that came out of, like, Oakland, like, different... different artists that have done videos and like integration of videos with music. I remember seeing some really cool Psychic TV experimental videos that are up that are really neat. Just, you know, you can get all kinds of crazy with it.
Where can people go online if they want to hear your music?
Where do they go? Probably our Bandcamp. The Street Ears Bandcamp.
The streeters.bandcamp.com or streeters.com will just send you there.
You know, okay.
That has our most recent full-length Blood Muscles Bones on it and also all the tour dates for the tour that we're on right now. And we have about 2 more weeks left. So there's some dates on there.
There are. There's also a link on it to a new song that we just did called Paralyzed that is on Impose magazine this week. They're hosting it. They put it up this week, and it's being hosted there, and it's not anywhere else. So if you look on there, you'll see the link to that.
And that's, like, from the newest batch of recordings that we did. And so I guess that's, like, that's a single for you.
There's your single.
the hit song of the summer, right?
That's it. It's all about alienation and, like, you know, lack of movement and
surveillance.
Yeah, totally summery. Good time. Feel good.
That's a top 40 material right there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to us today on Little Riley Radio. And we'll be seeing you guys on Friday.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.